It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Welcome back to the Hockey News Podcast, presented by BetMGM and McKinney. I'm, as always, Mike Stevens. This is, as always, Ryan Kennedy. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm doing great. The holidays are upon us.
I gotta give Ryan some credit, because both you and I were at the Leafs morning skate this morning, getting some Tampa Bay Lightning quotes and stuff. Ryan comes in with a bag of holiday shopping. This man, this is how much of a pro Ryan Kennedy is. He got pretty much all of his holiday shopping done before noon on a Tuesday.
Boom.
I've never seen someone work in silence like that. It's incredible. I bow down to you, sir. Although, unfortunately, people who are doing things, who are not, moving in doing things as efficiently, not being as successful as you, are the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a very difficult year for them. We've been over this.
Yes.
It's been tough. And another blow has been struck to them, and that Boone Jenner is out for a month.
Yeah.
It's been just a nightmare year for injuries, whether it's Werenski, Boqvist. Merzlikins is out for tonight as well, I believe, with an illness. And now they're missing basically their de facto number one center now.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we go from where do the Blue Jackets go from here? I feel like we ask this question every week, but like now that they've lost Boone Jenner, who is, I believe he's their captain. He is a lifeblood, sort of like a pillar of that team. Where do they go from here?
Yeah, I think this is a good opportunity. If I'm gonna do a silver lining here, it's a great opportunity for Kent Johnson to get reps as that number one center. Because it's funny in like a tragic way. Like Johnny Gaudreau is putting up great points.
Oh yeah, he's been as advertised.
He's been as advertised. Yeah, and you got Patrick Laine, who's been very well.
Just as good, done. Yeah.
But they did have a dearth of talent at center, and in a perfect world, Boone Jenner is your number two center.
Yes.
Kent Johnson, obviously, still super young. He was still at the World Juniors this summer for Team Canada, had the golden goal, but I feel like this is a bit of a lower stakes experiment that Columbus is now allowed to do, where it's like, okay, like we're toast, we know it, we're not going to make the playoffs. Let's see what Kent Johnson can do, where we give him more responsibility, maybe give him more ice time. What can he do playing with these top end guys? And then your sort of hope is over the summer he continues to get bigger and stronger. And maybe as soon as next year, he is ready to be that number one guy full time. It's a little too early, but if Kent Johnson can survive as your number one and Boone Jenner's your number two, well, then all of a sudden you've got like some pretty nice depth down the middle there. But yeah, as you said, with all the injuries, it's super tough to carry on if you're Columbus, but at least, you see what Kent Johnson can do. And I will say, they lost to Dallas the other night. But Kent Johnson, his possession numbers were not bad compared to the rest of the team. So it's a start.
I want to list off these injuries because they're nuts. Like,
do it.
Jake Bean, he's on injured reserve. He's been out since November 15th. Nick Blankenberg, he's on injured reserve. He's been out since November 11th. Adam Boqvist, he broke his foot. He's out at least 6 weeks. Justin Danforth is on injured reserve. Boone Jenner's on injured reserve. His Korpisalo's on injured reserve. Cole Sillinger is now going to miss last night's game against Dallas. He's another young guy who we would think, all right, now Boone Jenner's out, let's step up.
Totally.
We don't know if he's going to be back.
Yeah.
Then you have Jacob Voracek, who may never be back, as we said. And then, as well, Zach Werenski out for the rest of the year. I mean, this is just like what was an exciting year for Columbus. What was a year that I think was really important for them to establish themselves as a place that players want to play. I remember when we started the podcast, when we started this season, I guess, of the podcast, it was like Columbus can be a really interesting place because it's almost, and just because they're in Ohio, it's an interesting sort of like component or a sort of comparison here, is that when J.R. Smith, he's a basketball player, if you didn't know. He played in like New York before and everything, and he went to Cleveland for their championship run. And he's and everyone was asking him, like, what was it like, you know, playing in Cleveland? Because, you know, you were playing at Madison Square Garden before your big deal. He's like, it was actually great because it was all ball there. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else to do.
Right.
So it was all ball. We had to focus. He was with LeBron and everything. Yeah. And I felt like Columbus could be kind of like that. Mm-hmm. Somewhat small market, sort of Midwest, but like players go there and it's all hockey. It's all puck.
Yeah.
And they had a really good collection of talent. Just has not worked out this way.
Yeah. And you know what's funny too is I remember talking to somebody earlier in the season about this. And, you know, I think Columbus is one of those markets where if you visit it, you might not get the full
yes.
feel of it. But if you live there, you're like, hey, there's some great suburbs here. There's actually a lot of, from what I'm told, a lot of really good golf courses.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a player and you want to make your home there in the off season, you're like, hey, we've got some of the best courses in the country that are, you know, within range. Everything's close together in terms of like traffic and things like that. Airport to the rink to your home, so there's definitely some, you know, when Gaudreau went there, it's like, okay, when you list off those reasons, it's like, okay, I get it.
It's a good place to nest, I've heard, you know.
Yeah,
maybe if you're a single guy, you want to be living, you know, in your high-rise condo in the middle of New York or Manhattan,
right?
But like if you have a young family, you know, you want to, you realize this is a place that I want to set up, you know, the yard with the dog and everything, and
yes,
I think that's a good place. And look, hopefully they can turn it around, but like this is just this has been a nightmare for them this
yes,
season.
Not this year.
Like goaltending. Yeah, not
they
this
year. They can turn it around.
Goaltending, injuries, and like scoring, all of it has left them. So it's not
yeah.
great. Speaking of another team that pretty much everything has left them, is the Chicago Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm.
This is we were talking before we started recording. They're approaching historically bad status. You know, the Blackhawks are, I mean, they're they have seven wins on the other. They're 7-19-4. They have 18 points. They're dead last in the Central Division, one of the worst teams in the league. They just lost 7-1 to the Rangers. By the way, I have Chris Kreider in fantasy, and he finished with no points and was a -1 in that game.
Amazing.
Don't know how that's possible, but good for him. But this is a team that is just, it's going absolutely nowhere. I feel like obviously the front office is probably overjoyed at this. At this prospect, they do seem to be in the running, you know, number one for Connor Bedard. But
mm-hmm.
I mean, they have a lot of proud veterans on this team. You know, they have the Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, but even like, you know, like they, as much as like Jack Johnson and you know, guys like that. It's Connor Murphy would be a great ad for other teams. Jake McCabe, et cetera, et cetera. What do we do here with them? Like
yeah. So what's interesting about Chicago is I think we're at the point where we can say, okay, you know, if the draft lottery goes their way and they get Connor Bedard, what do the Hawks look like next year with mm-hmm. Bedard in their lineup? Because, I mean, based on what we've already seen from Connor Bedard, like, he's going straight to the league. Like,
oh, yeah.
No question about it.
When was the last time a number one pick didn't? Like, Owen Power, but that was because probably COVID as well. Like,
yeah. Owen Power, and then I think Eric Johnson was the first before that because he went NCAA as well.
Yes.
But, yeah, Connor Bedard's ready. And it's going to be interesting because, you know, Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, final years of their contract.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's going to happen either this season or in the summer,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you, just for the sake of argument, subtract those two guys, obviously it's a huge hole both offensively but also in terms of leadership. Now, you do have Seth Jones in terms of leadership.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
With that contract.
The contract, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to get to the floor.
That's true.
Right?
He'll get you there, that's for sure.
You'll have Tyler Johnson for another year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Max Domi is probably trade deadline bait.
Oh, absolutely. He's having a great year this year, actually.
Exactly. So it works out for all involved. But what's interesting is, you know, we've talked about this or, you know, blogged about like, okay, well, what would Connor Bedard look like on Anaheim? It's like, oh, it'll be pretty cool. They got Zegras and Terry mm-hmm. up front and Mason McTavish. But you look at Chicago, and I think even with Connor Bedard, they would still be really bad.
Oh, they'd be terrible, yeah.
Yeah, because if you look at, like, I mean, they made some high picks last summer, but Frank Nazar has been injured the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't played for the University of Michigan yet. And, you know, Kevin Korchinski's a defenseman, and still one that's, you know, growing into, you know, his role in junior, and he's been fantastic in the WHL, but, you know, he's not an NHLer yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you can depend on him to be a game changer right away. So it's kind of fascinating because I'm almost wondering if we're looking at sort of another Blackhawks rebuild going back to when they got all their sort of like classic players with Toews, Kane, Keith, Seabrook,
mm-hmm.
you know, all those guys. I think it's going to take a while.
It is. This is going to be one of the more like extensive long rebuilds, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you get Connor Bedard and that gives you like immediately gives you your franchise pillar right there.
Yeah.
Like it gives you the piece that you rebuild for to get. But like the Blackhawks amassed an insane amount of draft capital at this draft. They should have amassed more based on who they dealt away, I think. But the fact that, and what they did is they also got a lot of players, a lot of veteran guys who are like just basically they basically made themselves do a draft pick mill, you know? They basically got a lot of guys who are second, third round picks at the deadline. The Max Domi's, the Anathasius, mm-hmm. the Jason Dickinsons, you know, like even Jake McCabe, you know, Connor Murphy. These are Colin Blackwell. These are guys who, you know, are really good pieces on a contender.
Yeah.
Specifically those two defensemen. I'm really high on both of those. And I think that on a better team, they're doing great. But they could have even more capital to pour into this. You know, this mm-hmm. is like they're not done by any means. But like I was reading something on Patrick Kane, and because the Athletic's doing this thing where they go through like the 99 players, and basically Patrick Kane's sort of addition into this was prefaced by the fact that he is just really sick of losing.
Uh-huh.
He wants he misses winning. He yeah. misses being good. And he misses playing hockey that matters. Mm. I think there's if Patrick Kane has his contract expire as a member of the Blackhawks, that will be I don't care about the off ice. Like I don't care about the when it comes to like his off ice legacy. I don't care about how much he means to the team. That will be a failure on the front office. You have a guy who, yes, he's not having his best year, but he's still, you know, he's still widely known as one of the top offensive players in the league. He's one of the best, if not the best, American scorers of all time. He would be perfect as a top six addition to any other team.
Sure.
If you don't get as much value as you can for this expiring asset, no matter how much he matters to your franchise.
Mm.
Taves is another story. Like, you know, they make a lot of money. Taves hasn't performed as well as he should. It might be tougher to move his salary, but Kane's a different story. If he walks into the free agency as a member of the Chicago Blackhawks next summer, that's a failure on Kyle Davidson in my eyes.
Gotcha.
What are you doing this for?
Yeah, unless you say to Kane, like, would you be willing to do another 4 years of losing?
No, he's not. He's 34. He doesn't have much time left. And, like, everything, we're looking at him, he's looking like a guy who's
younger than I am.
No, but like in terms of hockey, yeah. But like Taves, for example, like have you been reading the quotes that are coming out of Chicago lately? They're dire. Like they're really dire. Like Taves was just like this. He was basically like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Like this is the captain of the team. This is the guy who is Captain Serious. He's supposed to be the level-headed voice of reason.
Right.
And he's coming out and saying like, this sucks. I hate losing. I hate this. Yeah. Patrick Kane in a puff piece about him that's supposed to be celebrating how good he is. It's prefaced by the fact that he's going, I'm so sick of losing.
Yeah.
I think, and they've been doing it for a long time. I think these, like specifically Kane, and I know that I've sort of made this about Kane, but it's a bit like, mm-hmm. like. If he needs to be dealt.
You got to get something. Yeah. I think that's fair.
And I don't know where he goes. I mean, it's always been the Rangers people seem to connect him to, but they have no cap space. The Sabres would be a lot of fun because it's a hometown guy and he's kind of what they need.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're wasting a very good talent right now very unnecessarily.
Yeah, the Sabres would be a perfect fit if they were closer to a playoff spot.
But they're playing incredible hockey right now.
They are. It's just like, how much can you make up? You know, like I was looking at the standings the other day, and it's like, you know, like Tampa has only gained like 1 point on the Leafs in the last 10.
Yeah.
And Tampa's like 8-2.
Well, yeah, the Leafs didn't have a regulation loss for pretty much all of November.
Yeah.
And into December. And they gained, I think it was like 2 points on Boston, like not even.
Exactly. Leafs aren't even first in their division.
Exactly. So it's tough.
It's tough.
But, I mean, imagine you get Kane in the building, you make mm-hmm. you make a crazy push to the end of the season. And I know this is semantics here, but like you look at the Sabres, they did have that terrible losing streak, that 8-9. But if you take that away, and I get it,
right.
You know, it's like if you take away the games they lost, they've won a lot. I get that argument.
Yeah.
I get it, okay? But just hear me out, everybody. Like, if you, other than that, they've been playing incredible. Can you imagine Tage Thompson and Patrick Kane on the same line?
Ooh.
Like, that's good for hockey.
Totally.
It's good for my soul.
I think
it's good for humanity.
Yeah. If you could, like, if I'm Kevin Adams, I say to Patrick Kane, okay, can we do a sign and trade where you sign like a 1 or 2 year extension where it's like, okay, we're probably not going to make it, but maybe we can at least, you know, win games down the stretch and be in a, have good vibes. And then next year, we should be a playoff team with you.
Absolutely. And also, like, you can give them, the Sabres, I think, are in a position now with the talent, with the goodwill they've built up as like an up and coming team. Because they do. Like, they went from being a laughingstock to like, you know, a place where hope springs eternal now.
Yeah.
And it's because, you know, Tage Thompson is putting up, he's scored, what, 25, 26 goals this year? Pretty much all of them being highlight reel goals.
Yeah.
And you go, you, I think if you're the Blackhawks, you allow the Sabres to at least like pitch themselves to Kane. They go, okay, so we're going to acquire you.
Yeah.
This is where we're looking for. We have a ton of cap space.
Yeah.
We have a blue line that's led by Owen Power and Rasmus Dahlin.
Yeah.
We up front, we got like, we have Tage Thompson, who's like a not generational, but he's like, he could be a legitimate like star center. He is a star center right now. You know, we have young guys like Peyton Krebs, Dylan Cousins, Jack Quinn, JJ Paterka, and then leaders in, you know, the Alex Tux, the guys like that. Like, we have a very exciting team.
Yeah.
I know you're expiring. Why don't you come here? And then we negotiate a 1 or 2 year extension for you. We have the cap space to do that.
Yeah.
We have the draft capital to do that. And you can be at home and you can win. And I think, like, if I was Kane, I'd be like, hell yeah, man. Like,
it's a good pitch.
Why not? Like, that's, can you imagine? Like you go from a team that had no, that has no direction, or at least the direction is to go against everything that you believe in as an athlete, which is winning.
Yeah.
To a team that has like one of the best under 24 cores in the league, if not the best.
Yeah.
I like, and you still get, you're still going to get paid a lot. It's an organization that everyone recognizes has completely turned itself around behind the scenes as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that would be very attractive to me if I was Patrick Kane.
I hear.
Okay. Very cool. Now I think we'll do a little fun exercise here.
Yes.
Christmas time. It's the holidays.
That's right.
Getting festive. Why don't we go through a couple players, say who deserves some extra Christmas presents this year?
Exactly. You know? Well, since we already talked about Tage Thompson, we'll mention him briefly. I think he already has 50 points. He's basically on pace for like 120 or something.
It's nuts.
Yeah, and it's funny too, because it's like, he really broke out last year. He had 68 points.
So that's,
it's like,
what you got can't him say, extension.
Yeah, so you can't say it's like he's breaking out, but he's hitting another level. Like, he's gonna break his career best by like Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe even before that, to be 100%. Honest.
100%. I'm going to be sitting alone in my apartment on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
With not a significant other in sight, and I'm going to be watching him break his, right? It's going to be fantastic.
Exactly. And he'll just keep motoring for there.
Exactly.
So, I mean, Tage Thompson's an obvious one. Another obvious one is Connor McDavid, who is...
What a shock.
Like, he has a shot at 160 points this year. Like, he's basically on pace for
He's
that.
Got a chance to do something like we haven't seen in a very long time.
Exactly. Yeah. And now that the Oilers have sort of righted the ship, they're in a playoff spot. You know, Stuart Skinner gets the extension in net. Obviously, that wasn't necessarily the plan coming into the year, but you...
Look, you got to make what...
You got to make do.
You got to play with the cards you're dealt.
Exactly.
You know?
And Stuart Skinner has been very good for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it also gives Jack Campbell a chance to kind of reset and, you know, help them down the stretch. But, yeah, I mean, McDavid, I mean, Leon Draisaitl's been fantastic as well, but it's hilarious how, like, even Leon Draisaitl pales in comparison to Connor McDavid in terms of production this year, just because McDavid has been so dominant. And, I mean, we still see everything that makes him so unique in terms of, you know, making plays at high speeds and the fact that nobody has a high speed as high as his.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's, like, maybe one or two players in the league that could be, that could hang with him in a skating competition. But the fact he can do all that and be a wizard with the puck has just made him unstoppable. One other player I'll mention, Linus Ullmark.
Yes.
In Boston. Again, like, we're looking at like near historical numbers in terms of like his save percentage. You know, in the salary cap era, there's just not many players who have been at that level. And, you know, very interesting. This is a player who, you know, you could sort of see it at times earlier in his career, and he played for some of those Buffalo teams that really struggled, but he had some pretty decent save percentages. Last year was a pretty good first step with the Bruins, but now he's basically unstoppable.
Yeah.
And you love to see it.
His save percentages, because I watched a lot of him when I was covering the Marlies, you know, like, his Rochester's relatively close, so they visit a lot. He was a phenomenal AHL goalie. And the thing is, too, is when he was on those Sabres teams, his save percentage was like pretty good, but it was always like, it was always spoken about in those glowing tones because it was relative to the performance of the team, right? It would be like, this guy's like 23 and he's got like a 9-10, but on a team, but on a terrible Sabres team, that's like a 9-30 anywhere else, right? It's crazy. Well, a thing that I that just blows my mind when it comes to McDavid and the Oilers is, you know, McDavid's got 10 more points. He's got 64 points this year in 33 games, which is 10 more than Draisaitl, who has 54, which is still incredible, but like, Draisaitl will be on a historic pace as well, and McDavid has beat him by 10 more points.
Yeah.
But then I go, I wonder why the Oilers aren't winning that much, right? You look down, you go, oh, Evander Kane's been out since like October, November, and he's seventh in team scoring still.
Wow.
So that might explain it. And two of the guys in front of him on that are defensemen, are Nurse and Barry. So when it comes to scoring depth, forward depth, I mean, Derek Ryan's in the top 10. Might not be good, but yeah, absolutely. McDavid deserves to get some extra Christmas presents. I think that's fantastic. Another one, I think, and we were talking about him, is Johnny Gaudreau. I think it's, you know, like he has, I always like it when big ticket free agents are worth their money, you know?
Yeah.
It's always really good to see that because for so long, that has not been the case. And I think that Johnny Gaudreau, he's come in, he would have every sort of like reason to look around and be like, what have I done?
Right.
You know, I've made a horrible mistake. But he has come in and he's been Johnny Gaudreau. He's been exactly what you want him to be. And also, and I know it's a tough situation, but to sort of like contrast it, you look at Calgary, damn, they could really use Johnny Gaudreau.
It's true.
Like, I covered that Leafs game versus Calgary, not this last Saturday, but the one before. There is, like, no one on that team that can drive play themselves. Mm. You know, like, Johnny Gaudreau is a one-man, like, zone entry, like, sort of, like, possession machine. They need that guy to, bring everyone together.
Mm.
And, man, they're missing it. Like, sometimes you don't know what you got till it's gone. And I think that the Flames are starting to realize
that. The Flames
were
like, we knew.
They're like, we knew, we wanted you to stay.
He wouldn't stay.
I think even to another extent, I think they're looking at it and they go like, okay, well, we feel really good. We replaced you, you know, like, you know, they got divorced, but they replaced him with multiple new partners.
That's right.
They couldn't do the same thing that Johnny Gaudreau did. Yeah. So, yeah, who else deserves extra presents for you, do you think?
Those are my big ones.
Another one that I want to, and I think not a lot of people are talking about, is Miro Heiskanen.
Yeah.
Miro Heiskanen has been fantastic this year. He's putting up insane offensive results. And because he's on the same team as Jason Robertson, who is himself putting up insane offensive results, and Roope Hintz, who is doing the same thing and all that, but not enough people give Miro Heiskanen love. This is one of the best defenders, I think, straight up in the game.
Agree.
He is... You know, the fact they have him under contract for the foreseeable future at a very good price, I think that sets Dallas's blue line up. Like, they can do anything and build around him.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough people talk about Miro Heiskanen. If he played in a market that was even just a little, I would say, cooler than Dallas, like, you know, you're getting towards sort of the middle of the country where the markets are more, you know, like, fervent,
mm-hmm.
he would be, you know, like... He would be worshipped, you know, but because he's in Dallas, he's somewhat sequestered.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to give him some credit because he has done phenomenal this year.
Fair enough. Yeah. And yes, you're right, Jason Robertson. Obviously,
another one.
Deserves all the Christmas presents.
Incredible. All right, moving on. You and I, we are leaving for the World Juniors on January 2nd. It's going to be a lot of fun. So why don't we just do a quick preview before we head out?
Let's do it.
All right, so... We're going to do it by groups here. Ryan's obviously the expert here. I'm just around to make sure he doesn't get lost in the airports and whatnot. But I guess we'll start off with Canada. We did it a bit, but now that they've officially named their roster, let's start off with Canada.
Yeah, I mean, Canada obviously loaded, you know, tremendous depth, particularly down the middle. They're going to have some natural centers playing wing. And, you know, they are the favorite going in. They have all the elements. You know, Shane Wright, the captain. You got Dylan Gunther coming from the NHL in Arizona. You got Brant Clark on the back end.
Coming from the NHL.
You know, you have Connor Bedard. You have Adam Fantilli, who could be number one and two in the draft this summer. And then you've got guys like Brendan Othman and Logan Stankoven, who already won gold in the summer. So, yeah, Canada, definitely the prohibitive favorite.
Will goaltending be their downfall?
I think goaltending is going to be good enough. I think it's going to be very similar to the summer with Dylan Garand, because it's either going to be Thomas Milic, who's undrafted, or Benjamin Gaudreau with the San Jose pick. Both of them are the type of goalies where, you know, they can get the job done. They might not steal you a game, but if you're Canada, you just need your goalie not to let you down.
Yeah.
So I think they're okay.
Very cool. All right, Sweden.
Yeah, Sweden, it's going to be a very different team mm-hmm. than in the summer because that team was led by Jesper Wallstedt in net. He's too old now. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very interesting to see, you know, like Jonathan Lekari-Mäki, the Vancouver first rounder, you know, didn't really get on track in the summer, but he should be a big part of that offense. Fabian Lysell, the Boston Bruins pick, who's been in the AHL, almost a point per gamer for the Providence Bruins, he's going to be big. What I want to see from Lysell is him really drive the net because he can take the puck. He kind of does that William Nylander thing where he goes all around the zone and guys chase him. But I want him to dominate because, again, like he has experience. He's an older player on the team. I want to see him dominate. So I think Sweden, their defense corps is not going to be as good as it could be. No Simon Edvinson, no Anton Olsson. So that could be tricky for them. Goaltending, it's not going to be as good because Wallstedt was like the best in the tournament. But the offense should be a lot better. Mm-hmm. So they would be, you know, sort of the prohibitive number two. But they're going to have to earn it in the group.
Very cool. All right. Czechia.
Yes. So Czechia, this is a team that I think people should be pretty excited about. Mm-hmm. Because basically their entire defense corps is returning from the summer. And it was a good defense corps. David Jiříček, obviously the big name. The Columbus first rounder has been in the AHL. Played a little with Columbus.
He did, yes.
Yeah. But like Thomas Hamara is there, Stanislav Savozil, David Spacek, these are all NHL draft picks. So the Czechs are going to be very strong on the back end. And then you guys got guys like Jiří Kulich up front and Thomas Sukonik in net, undrafted, but he was awesome in the summer. So Czechs are kind of my wild card. Like I could see them playing for a medal for sure.
Really? Very cool. All right, what about Germany?
Okay, so Germany, big task. Right? Because they're not going to be as good as they were a couple of years ago when they had, obviously, the big guns like Stützle and Reichel and Paterka. Looking at Julian Lutz, the Arizona first rounder, second rounder, to have a big tournament. Mm-hmm. And then in net, they got Nikita Kwop, who...
Very great name.
Yes.
What a name.
Great name. Carolina pick. He's going to have to be big. Mm-hmm. Because essentially, their goal should be the medal round. But, again, they're going to have to earn it. And I also say Bennett Rossmy, who was amazing in the summer. Undrafted, but he went to the LA Kings camp. He should dominate. And
Very cool.
If he can dominate, then Germany can at least sort of tread water.
Very cool. All right, and then finally for Group A, Austria.
Yeah, so it's going to be tough for the Austrians because no Marco Kasper.
Yes.
They already have been struggling at the top. They're probably going to play for relegation. They might be the team that gets relegated. I will say at least, defenseman David Reinbacher, who plays in Switzerland, is a very interesting prospect for the 2023 draft. Could be one of the top blue liners in the class because it's very wide open there. Austrians, they're really probably not going to have the puck much. But I would say if you're watching them, watch for Reinbacher.
Very cool. All right, going over to Group B, good old US of A.
USA, they're going to have some firepower. And, you know, Logan Cooley's going to be big. Cutter Gauthier, Jimmy Snuggerud. I think they've been playing as a line.
Yes.
It's like the old NTDP line that they all had together, so that's fun. Luke Hughes, obviously, on the defense corps. He's going to lead that unit. Seamus Casey will be big, too. The big question, the X factor, goaltending.
Yes.
Caden Imbarico is the returning starter, but they did play Trey Augustine in the first exhibition game, and he looked very good against
Finland. Your, like, wild card.
He's my wild card.
You're like, this guy could be a guy,
yes.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Trey Augustine's the hill I'm going to die on. Imbarico has been very good for Colorado College this year, but he is a smaller goaltender. What's it going to look like in the medal round when he has to face, like, the big-time shooters? So that, to me, is, like, the huge X factor, because we've seen Team USA fall in the quarterfinals. We've seen them go all the way and win gold. So very interesting team.
All right, Finland.
Yeah, Finland, you know, at this point, you basically just have to put them as a gold medal favorite because they're always in the mix.
They always are.
It used to be up and down. It used to be boom, bust with Finland. Now it's just boom. Doesn't matter who's on the roster. Now, the most interesting thing about this Finnish team, Brad Lambert, Winnipeg Jets first rounder. He was healthy scratched in the medal round in the summer. They couldn't get him going with the rest of the team. Yeah. Basically, you know, he's trying to do things too much himself. He, you know, the coach was saying he just had to learn how to use his teammates, and you know, he wasn't doing that, and they needed a cohesive unit. So, I mean, they went on to the gold medal round. They almost won the gold medal. But now Brad Lambert gets a second chance, and he's, you know, he's been good in North America. It's on North American ice again, which probably helps. They do have a new coach and obviously new teammates. So let's see how they utilize Brad Lambert, because, you know, they've got guys like Joaquin Kamel, who can obviously score and have experience. But if Brad Lambert can have a really good tournament, that will definitely propel the Finns.
Very cool. You think he'll be back with a vengeance, do you think? You know, like, he's...
Honestly, it could go either way.
Very cool.
He could have like 12 points, or he could get scratched again.
Very cool. All right, yeah. Switzerland.
Yeah, so, I mean, Switzerland, they really dodged a bullet, because they will have the services of Dallas Stars first-rounder Leon Bischel.
Yes.
The humongous, nasty defenseman, one of my favorites from last year's draft class. You know, didn't play in the summer because, it was a very busy year, obviously, for 2022 draft picks. He wanted to just sort of come to the tournament. They were like, no, you got to come to camp. So they were like, how about we just call it off?
How about we just punt for next year?
Yeah. So he didn't, you know, there was a bit of a row there. But now he's back. That's huge, because this Swiss team, not a lot of talent otherwise. They've got some veteran scoring, got a couple of other defensemen that are interesting. But Leon Bischel is the guy to watch. He's not a big offensive guy. Mm-hmm. He's more of a put you through the boards kind of guy. So he's fun to watch. But I will say this, I think the Swiss need to be careful, because they're in a pretty well-rounded group, and one false step, and you're going to find yourself playing for relegation.
Yeah, 100%. All right, Slovakia.
Yeah, so obviously for Slovakia, getting Simon Nemec on the back end is huge. Getting Filip Mesar up front is huge. You know, this is a team that's got some pretty decent talent. And those high-end elements, I think, can drive them pretty far. I don't think they're necessarily... I mean, hey, maybe they can be a medal contender. Maybe they could play for bronze. You know, I think they can be in the mix. It's probably going to depend on who they face in the quarterfinal. But I think this is going to be a pretty decent squad.
It's always good when you preface your expectations of a team with, I mean, hey, you know?
You never know. Because they do have enough high-end talent that if those guys can just be beasts, and you got Dalibor Dvorsky as well, who's up for the 2023 draft. You know, there's talent there.
Very cool. All right, and then finally, last team, Latvia.
Latvia, yeah. I mean, they're always fun because they're a hardworking, grinding bunch. They got a couple of NHL draft picks this year, which bodes well for them. Dan's Luck Malis, the Boston Bruins pick. I think he's a guy that has some pretty fun skill to him. You know, they have a couple of other players that were drafted, some, you know, in the CHL, some over in Europe. You know, they're going to be scrappy as always. And, you know, their big games are going to be against Switzerland and Slovakia. For them, it's about obviously avoiding that relegation series. If they do, in fact, have to play for relegation, I think they have a pretty good chance of staying up. But, you know, they don't have, I mean, they had a star goaltender in Bruno Bruveris in the summer. He's aged out, so that's too bad for them. But that's sort of where they're at. They're a minnow, but a scrappy minnow.
Yeah. I will always have a soft spot for Latvia after the, I believe it was 2014 Winter Olympics, when Kristers Gudlevskis put up one of the most insane performances I've ever seen.
Very true.
Against Canada. All right. Well, let's go to, we're going to punt on mailbag this week. I think we're just going to go right into rapid fire. And again, you know, Christmas time, holiday time, it's coming up. Thought I'd do a Christmas-themed version of rapid fire for you, Ryan.
Let's do it.
So let's start off, you know, you're the big music guy.
Yes.
So let's start off with what is the Christmas song that you just loathe the most?
Loathe the most? Like, I thought you were going to go the other way.
No, because there are, like, you know, we all have our favorite Christmas carols, and I'll ask you about that next. But there are certain Christmas carols that people feel very, you know, visceral hatred. Mainly people who've worked, like, retail before,
love to hear it. Yeah.
But I feel like deep in everyone's heart, there's a Christmas carol that you're just like, why does that exist?
Right. Oh, man. I'm not a big fan of Christmas music in general.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll go with, like, Silent Night or one of the more sort of treacly, like, slower ones. Yeah, that's where I would go, where the one where it's like, I don't want to hear this again. Yeah, I would also say, like, have yourself a Merry Christmas. That's the one you hear as soon as you walk into the department store.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, and this is mainly due to my own stupidity, but I'm going to say I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Okay.
Because as a kid, like, I couldn't put it together that it's actually about, like, the kid's dad dressed as Santa.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, I thought that it was that the kid uncovered an affair.
Right.
Between his mom and Santa Claus.
Right.
And I'm like, why is this a happy song?
Yeah,
this is the
yeah.
destruction of a family.
You thought it was literal.
I thought, yeah, as a kid, I'm just like, why are we singing about, like, like Santa is married.
And true.
I'm assuming this kid's mom is married. Right. If either way, it's bad. There's adultery going on either
true.
Way. And I didn't like it. Mm. And I also don't think it's a very like good song. I just think it's sort of like whatever. So yeah. I do like Silent Night. I think it's a very like contemplative one. I think it's nice, but yeah, I've never really liked
that. See, I don't like to contemplate.
There you go. Yeah.
Also, when it comes to literal songs, I was the same way with Maneater by Hall & Oates when I was a kid. I thought that was a literal song.
Like cannibalism. What's going on here? I was the same way with Maneater from Nelly Furtado. Her classic song. Yeah. I'm like, why does she want to eat me? That's not good. Mm-hmm. All right, favorite Christmas carol.
All right. I don't know if this is a Christmas carol, but Christmas song.
Yes.
Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues.
I don't even know that one.
It's not like a fun, like it's like, you know, it's what you expect from the Pogues, like the drunkest of Irish bands. Yeah. But it's like, yeah, it's like Fairy Tale of New York. Yeah, it's like a down and out Christmas song. And I like that one. Or Feliz Navidad.
Yeah, that's Feliz Navidad's always a good one.
Yeah.
I love the like the Christmas, snow's coming down. Like that, I don't know what that's called, but it's a very, very good one. I like that. Basically because my parents would play the Michael Bublé Christmas album over and over and over. And look, he's great, and he did his own version of that. He did another one too, is like Baby It's Cold Outside sucks. Like it's, and I'm glad that we've updated that to a more less aggressive song.
Sure.
But yeah, I'd say that. All right. What is the Christmas present that you always wanted as a kid but never got?
Wow, oh, that's interesting.
So what do you resent your parents for? Yeah, basically I'm asking.
That's tough because like I think my parents were pretty spot on.
Oh, great.
With I thought because it's like the one that I always say was my favorite was like we got like a table hockey, like rod hockey. That was awesome. So I don't know. I can't think of one that they
really?
That they punted on.
Interesting.
Yeah, I guess I didn't have like super like I didn't ask for a pony or anything.
Yeah, I mean
I was realistic.
Me neither. I was pretty like the one, and I knew I was never getting it, but I was like a game system of any kind. My parents never let me have a game system as a kid. I had to like work and buy my own. And you know, so all through my childhood, you know, my friends are playing Call of Duty, my friends are playing this, that, and I unfortunately couldn't partake. I wasn't mad about it or anything, but right. I do remember, you know, like, you know, coming down and being like, maybe this is the year. Never. All right, another one is favorite Christmas movie.
Die Hard. Let's just say it.
Sure. You know what?
Die Hard I think is one of the best action movies
it
ever.
It is, obviously.
And it's definitely Christmas inspired.
It birthed a genre of movie. Like the sort of like trapped in one place, every man trapped in one place.
Right.
Like think about, there's literally a movie right now out that is basically Die Hard, but if you replace Bruce Willis with Santa Claus.
Yeah, and I'm actually pretty stoked about that.
And it looks awesome.
It looks awesome.
And it's gotten good reviews, but like think about how many movies have now just been like, it's like Die Hard, but, you know?
Die Hard on a boat.
Yeah, Die Hard on a boat. Die Hard in a plane. Die Hard, you know, like stuff, yeah. I'm going to go with, and this is a very controversial opinion.
Okay.
Like, this is going to get me hate from everyone because it's a movie that just, like, no, I don't think anyone likes, but I will explain the backstory behind it.
Okay.
My favorite Christmas movie is Christmas with the Cranks.
Okay.
I love that movie. I think it is just an absolutely ridiculous movie. Nothing makes sense in it. It's got, like, Dan Aykroyd as, like, basically the whole conceit of that movie. You know the conceit of the movie? It's where...
I'm trying to remember.
It's got Tim Allen and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Okay.
They're the Cranks.
Okay.
Luther and Nora.
Gotcha.
I know this movie, like, down pat.
Nice.
And their daughter leaves to join, like, the Peace Corps.
Okay.
And so they decide, we're going to skip Christmas. Well, at least Tim Allen decides we're going to skip Christmas, and we're going on a cruise instead. And Jamie Lee Curtis is like, you know, we're so into the community here. Like, we do so much for Christmas. And he's like, you know, my one condition, we're going to go on this cruise, but we're going to skip Christmas entirely. And they live in this suburb where, like, everyone's just, apparently there are no Jewish families in this like suburb. Right. Everyone's just like insane on Christmas all the time. Yeah. And so they just start getting bombarded by their neighbors about like their decision to skip Christmas and how it's like just so terrible. And like every house on the block puts up this like Frosty the Snowman on their roof, and they don't. And so like at all hours of the day, the kids are like outside being like free Frosty and stuff. It's nuts. But it is so much fun. I love it. And every year I go home for Christmas, like with my family, with my mom, dad and sister. And we get McDonald's for some reason on Christmas Eve. I think it's because we're coming back from something one time and we had to eat, but there's nothing else open. And, and so we just made that tradition. We watch Christmas with the Cranks and make fun of it the whole time.
Interesting.
One of the most like literally unhinged performances I've ever seen is Dan Aykroyd as Vic Frohmeyer in Christmas with the Cranks. Yes. Anyway, that's my favorite. And then another one is, and I guess we'll just end it off with this, is, you know, the classic, what is the best Christmas present you've ever gotten?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to table hockey.
Yes.
Because that was, like, formative, like, huge, you know, as a kid, huge hockey fan. And, that was just, like, it was super exciting. It was already set up for me and my little brother in the basement. Because that's what parents did back in the 80s and 90s, when you still had to assemble everything, is the night before. And I had to do it for my kids when they were really little. So, yeah, that was the best one.
Mine was the like the Batcave experience. I think it was from when I got it. It was from the animated series. Mm-hmm. But I still love Batman. I would still love to get that Christmas present. I broke it almost instantly because I would create stories with my action figures and just slam them together.
Right.
So everyone's missing an arm, missing a leg, you know. But that was great. Another one is, and it's a very practical gift, is a wallet. My dad got me a wallet. I think it was my first year of university, and I still use it to this day. It's just so practical. I love it. And him and I, we have matching wallets now, and we'll always I like that. So that's my favorite. And yeah, so that's been our Christmas rapid fire. The next time you will see us, I think, is going to be either. It'll be after New Year's. It'll be after the World Juniors when we get back, I think, right? So
that's right.
We're going to miss you, obviously. Hope you don't miss us too much. But then we'll be back to tee off the second half of the NHL season. It's always a pleasure, Ryan.
Indeed.
And I guess we'll see you then. Enjoy your holidays. Be safe. And we'll see you then.